Well, we want to be like Jesus, don't we? We want to have less of us. And I should always, you know, you do this when you're being a polite preacher. You always wait for the lady to go sit down. And get a little ahead of myself. Both ladies, actually. So, you know, I want to be like Jesus. Oh, I want to be like Jesus. I want every day to be like Jesus. Let me tell you that God wants us to be like Him. As we looked at last week, imitating Jesus Christ, that idea to mimic, we looked at how we should be like a sweet-smelling Savior. We looked at last week in Leviticus, as there was the different types of offerings that the Levitical priest would give. God wants us to be a sweet-smelling sacrifice. And I said last week, too, nobody wants to be around somebody who's a stinker. That means somebody who's just bad to be around with. Okay? Gotta tell it like it is. In this world, there are a lot of them out there. But we want to be a living sacrifice. So what does that take? It takes denying ourselves. That means taking up the cross. That means living the life of love, being like Jesus. And again, the ladies did a wonderful job to bring in the worship of His Word. So today we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5. In verses 8 through 14, walking in the light. And, you know, it's so important because, as John had said, and by the way, in 1 John, I'm going to read this in a minute. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, it's interesting that John and Paul and Timothy and even Polycarp were all pastors of the churches in Ephesus. They all were. Okay? And where is Ephesus now? It's located in Turkey. And the ruins are there. And guess who they worship? It's a Muslim country. So it is a very strong picture of what can happen to churches if they don't honor God. Put God first. It will be like, oh, I remember that when a church used to be here. It was very sad when I pastored out in Kansas and they talked about the old German churches. Some of you remember that out in the country. And they tore down these beautiful buildings because, well, you know, people, one, they moved on, you know, and they became more and more sparsely populated. But two, it was sad when at one time they preached the gospel. And then people come in from the world, becomes worldly, and wolves come in and cause problems. And what happens to the church? It disbands. It disperses. People are like, I'm fed up. I don't want any more of this. And they leave. So, not here today, man. Not here, because we have the light. And what is a light upon the hill? We'll look at it in a minute. If you cover it over, you can't see a light up on the hill if it's covered over. We'll look at that in a minute. But John says this in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from Him. That's Jesus, and declare to you that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, we walk in darkness, and we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen and amen. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that we can be forgiven? And we looked at it a couple of weeks ago. Remember, forgiveness is for us to forgive yourself. Then you can ask God, Lord, forgive me. And, you know, if you sin against your neighbor, I got that. But we live in a very dark world. And for it says here, for you were once in darkness, in verse 8 in Ephesians chapter 5. But now you're the light in the world. I'm going to turn over here to Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16. It says, if you are the light of the world, the city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light also shine before men, and they may see the good works that you glorify your God in heaven. You know what? There was a story about a man who had two sons, and there was a business. Now, the father was going to retire. He was getting old, and he was like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. He knew that his youngest son was very interested in his business, but he thought maybe he's a little immature. The oldest son was like, no, Dad. You know, I hate to tell you, when you die and pass on, I'm probably going to sell. At least he was honest. And he said, you know, I'm going to try this out. He said, I'm wrong. His dad was wise. He said, you know, I might be wrong to think about this. So what he did, he gave them both some money. He goes, I want you to go out to the house, and fill it with something. And I want the whole house to be filled with it. Well, the one son looked at his dad and he was like, that made no sense. How am I going to fill my house, right? Well, the younger son, which he thought was more of an obstacle, looked at him and he said, you know what? I'm going to go out and buy a bunch of candles. I'm going to buy those candles. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put them in each room of the house. And you know what I'm going to do? And finally, by the evening time, the first son said, Dad, I give up. The second son said, Dad, I got some. I'm going to wait until it's dark. So when it got dark, we put candles in the rooms. And we lit them. So it filled the whole house with light. The point is that it filled the whole house. And the father was just excited about it. He says, my son, he goes, you've got the business. This is, you know, and he told you, yeah, the older this son, well, obviously, you're not cut out for business. You're cut out to do what you've been called to do. He's been called what he's to do. Today, God wants us to fill our rooms, inner minds, with a light because there is much darkness. We live in a world today where we get light from the sun. Thank God. We talked about that in the book of Revelation where God's temple is like a metaphor. A light is a metaphor for Jesus because in the New Jerusalem, he is that temple. We looked at all that we went through the stones, what they meant. We went through the New Jerusalem, what that meant. And God's glory. If you hide jewelry or even gold in darkness, you can't see it until you have really the light. And so many of you here today are precious in God's sight. So many of you have so many gifts and so many talents. And God's saying, let me use what I have made you to be so you may be a light unto the world. There is just so much darkness. And let's go on here. So, we are supposed to be the light. Then he says, walk as children in light. Last week we looked at walking in love. You know, there's another story I got to tell you. You probably saw this movie. Now, I don't go to the movie theaters. And I wanted to see this movie really bad last year, so I didn't go. Now, if you all want to go to the movies, that's fine. There's nothing in the Bible where he says, you know, you can't go to the movies. But as a preacher of God, I got to live an live the right kind of life, okay? So I don't go to movies because people could speak evil of me. God will deal with them like he deals with me. But there was a movie called The Sound of Freedom, which was, and I can say this because we're all adults here, it's about child trafficking. Came out last year. Grossed over $250 million. They said, no, they wouldn't make it. Hollywood didn't want it. But they tried on a budget. And they went through, and over 20 million people viewed it. It was about child trafficking. And it was about a man, based on a true story. He, from one of these South American countries, went out, and he had two children. And there was a lady who said, you know, hey, look, everybody trusts women for the most part with their children. Most do. Gotta be careful. She said, well, we're gonna audition for this movie. So they had a bunch of children go out. This father said, you know what? He goes, my goodness. He says, yeah, sure. She said, come back at 7 o'clock. He came back. This is a true story. He came back at 7 o'clock. And they were all gone. His kids had been kidnapped, all these kids. Horrifying thing. Kimberly told me to watch the movie, and I said, I'll watch the movie. And at this stage, it's really hard to watch a movie like that. You should watch it. It's on YouTube. The point is that this man who worked for the government, worked with trafficking, and my point is he got a dark world to live in, went out and he went undercover, and he was able to statistically, I get this right in my notes here, he was able to go ahead and out of 3,800 children, he was able to rescue, okay? But the sad statistic is, and I could spend time talking about the movie, but I'm here about Jesus, what Jesus does. And by the way, the guy's Catholic, okay? So I'm not going to even go there. But my point is that over the borders, the very first year since our president, they said 350,000 children crossed the border. Guess what? 85,000 are missing. And because of child trafficking, it's gone up at least 5,000% in the past 20 years. That's how sick of a society we live in. Very sick. Very dark. And that's why I would not mention something like that if we had children here present. But, and we wonder why things happen with Jeffrey Epstein, with that problem with his island and so on and so forth, why he was killed, because there's a lot of people doing this stuff and they didn't want anybody to find out. So that's something to pray for our leaders and other people. They get out of that habit, which is the works of the flesh that we already talked about last week. But, we're living at that today. My point is people are saying, oh, that was back in the Bible times. We've evolved. No, we haven't. We've gone devolved in the cesspool of sin as a country. We're just totally disgusting. But I tell you what, we have a light, Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you today. We have Jesus. And we're going to talk about him here this morning. So he says here to walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is the good news of Jesus Christ and all goodness. Goodness, what Paul is saying here is the fullest and highest expression in which is willingly and sacrificially done for others. You will want to do what's best for others. And as we see here, in Matthew 19:16 through 26, we have Jesus rebukes a man here because he was a rich young ruler, and he was saying, I'm good enough here. And Jesus, remember the story in verse 16 through 26, if you can just give me a minute here, says, now behold, came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said unto him, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that's God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? And Jesus says, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. Quite a disciplined man, such a good man. And he says, well, what do I lack, Jesus? A lot of people say that today. What do I lack? And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. And the young man was heard that was saying he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And of course, later on in those preceding verses, the disciple says, well, who can get to heaven? And Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. So a lot of people today out there, if you go out witnessing, please join me anytime. Give me a call. It's not just Thursdays or Saturdays. You can call me anytime. Say, you know what? I got an itch. I got a real good itch. I need to get out and evangelize. Come on. You know, there's all kinds of ways of doing it. You know, so and the good news, too, is that you can stand behind me while I do all the talking. Because I know the human nature is like, are you kidding me? Oh, no way. But God gives you the grace. I do ask him for grace and mercy because, you know, most of the time I had no idea who I'm going to be up in front, what I'm going to say, how I'm going to do it. I, you know, it's up to you, Lord. So then also we go on here with the fruit of the Spirit. Out of goodness, there's righteousness. So as walking as children of light. So we see here in Luke 18:9-14. Remember, righteousness is first a relationship with God, second relationship with others. It's how we live, right? And, you know, it's so interesting about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The tax collector, remember this story, was a person that people hated because he used to take bribes and he would charge you more and he would do this and that. And you were like, here, take a few extra coins. You know, just go. You know, sign the line that I paid for it. And by the way, always get things in writing. Make sure people sign it. But he went to the temple and it took a lot of courage for this man to go to the temple because everybody knew who he was. And you know what? Today, everybody knows who we are. Oh, yeah. They know who you are. Your neighbors know who you are. They watch you all the time. And, you know, some people just do that. I don't know why they do it. But it says, the two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Ooh, religious guy now. The Pharisee stood and prayed with us within himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Oh, my goodness, man had a pride issue. He thought he was, you know, God's gift to mankind. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even the tax collector. He's looking down, tax collector. You know what? God's forgiven us. So we're never on any different. The only reason why I'm up here, because I'm preaching the word of God, so you can see me better. And, you know, like Nehemiah, when he read the word, he stood up. He read the word of God. Remember that? While they were rebuilding the walls and so on and so forth. And he goes on to say, boasting about himself, he says, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So now he's really laying it on thick to God. Do you think God was listening to that? No, he wasn't. There was no humility. There was, you know, if he had an attitude, it was like, my goodness, there's, wow, you're here too. Let me help you. Let me come over. Let me sit next to you. Let me talk with you. Let me feel how you feel. As this world goes, you want to feel the love, right? Let me understand you. I care about you. Not this distant stare or like, you know, oh, you know. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, that's how I like to come to the Lord. I think we all do. Lord, forgive me. I really blew it this past week. I really messed things up. And I thank God that you, Lord, you love me in spite of myself because I am nothing, you know. Came in this world, I leave this world, nothing. But thank God I have Jesus. I have inherited heaven. I have everything that I need here on earth. I give thanks to you, give you glory, and I worship and praise your name, give you honor, and on and on and on. The light comes on. And that light needs to be seen in all of us, not in darkness. So it says, I tell you that a man, when he went down to his house, was justified rather than the other, and everyone who exalts himself will be humble, and the other who humbles himself will be exalted. When we humble ourselves, God can use us. God can use the light in us. You know, when you compare somebody who's not too smart, you've heard this expression of not having the light screwed in too tight. It's a true story. I read this from Paul Harvey's memoirs. I have books of that at home. And he says it's true. Back in 1987, there was a news reporter. He was all proud and proud, prideful, excuse me, and he was talking about, hey, you know, there's this new alarm system that you can get in your home. It's based on a true story. And he was on TV and he was showing different rooms in his house, all the things that he had. Okay, and he says, this is how you lock everything from the inside. Well, after he was done, because he was a night anchor, and, you know, he went home and his home was broken into. Well, guess who was watching the show? Thieves were. And they were like, this guy's a fool. He showed me everything that he had. So how do you get in? Since he had such a great alarm company. By the way, he was paid money to do this in his own home. They broke in through the windows. But this is easy. They knew exactly where to go to. The guy was cleaned out. He was a night anchor. He didn't get home till wee in the morning. I think when we use pride as a means to justify ourselves, the light goes out. And we're left destitute and we have nothing. And when God gives us light, we can see everything better around us and we can appreciate things better. That's why we should be constantly thanking the Lord and humility. And so going back here to Ephesians. So that was goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now it's interesting, in John chapter 18, there was a fellow named Pontius Pilate. Remember him when Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate? And, you know, Pontius Pilate was like, okay, you know, I've already had this dream from my wife. And, you know, she said it had nothing to do with him because they're very superstitious back in the day. This man could be a god, you know. Remember, they worshiped many gods. And some of the leaders thought they were actually gods. But here comes Jesus, and so it says, Pilate entered in John chapter 18, verse 33, and Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you about concerning me? Good answer. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and your chief priests have delivered me to you. And what had you done? So it was a rather mean answer back to Christ. He was like testing the Lord. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. So he was showing mercy and grace in spite of people when they witness and when we tell the truth. Remember, truth is being honest, being right, having reliable trustworthiness, integrity, contrast to hypocritical, deceptive, and false ways. So there was the truth here. And Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered and says, rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I come into the world, that I should bear the witness of truth. Okay, he is truth. We should be light bearers of truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. We are his sheep. You realize with sheep, if they're sick, and herdsmen will tell you, shepherds will tell you, if the sheep are sick, they won't understand the shepherd's voice. So the man said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and put on the shepherd's outfit and have a crook and a rod, you know, and a rod and a staff. And still, the sheep had obeyed the good shepherd. But when they became sick, they didn't know who was the false or the real shepherd was. And today we have people who are being led by false shepherds. And so people need to know the truth. And we are God's sheep and his pasture, and we need to be following the truth and his word. So Pilate says, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault with him. I think that we are suffering of this today. I think more than any times else, people don't know the difference between the truth and a lie, okay? And you have people today that are really confused, because who's the author of deception and confusion? Satan is. And his minions are out there everywhere, whispering into people in their spirits, telling them lies that they should follow, and using other people that are listening to these lies and following them. So as we look at this here, as walking in the light, we need to have the truth as a light in our dark ways. And it says here, for the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable of the Lord. So what is acceptable unto the Lord? It's interesting, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5 says, you are the sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So very simply, it says, as children of light, we don't have time to go through this whole chapter, but we need to watch in verses 5 and 6 as lights. We need to be sober as lights. Put on the breastplate of faith and love. Put on the helmet of salvation and hope. We are not under wrath. We live together with Christ. And it says, it has all these points here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 through 23. To warn the unruly, to comfort the feeble-minded, to support the weak. Our patience towards all men. Do not render evil for evil, to follow that which is good, to rejoice evermore, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in everything. Do not quench the spirit, and do not despise the word. Prove all things. And I like what it says at the end here. It says, now that you are children of light, verse 23 through 24, says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and you may, with your whole spirit and soul and body, be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who calls you to be faithful, who also will do it. You know, it's amazing with the speed of light, you know, with 187,000 miles an hour in a tick of a tock, the speed of light can go around the earth 7 times. That's how quick it is. How much more it is today for us to be a light of the world, okay? The speed of light, okay? That's in scientific terms. You know, tell somebody about the light of Jesus coming back, you know? We said last week we're going to do our blinking lessons. What was the blinking lesson? A rapture and the twinkling of an eye. Just close your eyes for a minute, or just blink your eyes, and that's how quick we're going to be in heaven. Amazing, isn't it? And be like, wow, I was just here on earth. What is going on? I'm in here in heaven in glory. Hallelujah. Christ be praised. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. So as we see here, Paul is saying here that we need to finding out what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. It says, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done in secret. It's amazing, because some preachers and some teachers teach you how to do evil things. Say, what in the world are you talking about? They get into the in-depth, disgusting things that the ungodly do. You don't need to know that. Romans chapter 16 says to stay away from that. Be ignorant of it. But we need not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Now, as a mature Christian, I can read about cults and the occult and understand where they're coming from, and deceptions and lies and untruths. I, as a mature Christian, I can look at that. And my seminary professor told me years ago, he goes, I've learned a lot more about Christianity studying about the enemy at times because I know what the enemy's up to. But he says, you got to be careful. And when you run into areas there you shouldn't be looking at, skip over it, okay? And what I'm saying to you, my brother, is better that you stay away from all of that, okay? Just as historians have told us that, remember the Bacchus god? Remember back in the Summer Olympics? Remember that? You had the guy there at the beginning when they started with the Olympics in Paris, and they had that disgusting picture of the Lord's Supper. Remember that? And the one guy running around with a bunch of grapes, he was Bacchus, the god of wine. And the Bacchanalians were so hideous and so disgusting that actually the Senate, the Roman Senate back in 186 AD, they had to ban it. They would come together. I'm not going to get in what they do. This is not necessary. We talk about godliness and Jesus. They go into caves. They're doing things in secret. And he's saying, well, Pastor, what does this all mean between light and darkness? You know, because he's saying some of you were like this. Some of you, remember, they came from pagan backgrounds. Remember, there is the monotheism, which is the worship of a singular god. And then, of course, there was the polytheism, which is the belief that there were many gods. And so, you go into Ephesus, and it wasn't just by Diana, the great, one of the seven wonders of the world, but they had many gods. That's why it said, and even in Moses' time, it says, you shall not have any idol, because it's more than just having a little deity there. They used to pray to all kinds of gods, and Moses was saying, get these things out of your house. They don't belong there. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. But they had some were thinking, well, you know, it looks pretty, or my aunt gave it to me, or somebody gave it to me. Get rid of it. Even missionaries will tell you. We knew some missionaries who brought home some things. And I'm not saying, look, there's bows and arrows in the pastor's office. And I think it was given to church here from Papa Guinea from a long time ago. I don't know. But remember, a couple of years ago, I remember fixing them, looking at them, I thought, interesting. I wouldn't want to get hit with one of these arrows because it looked kind of mean. But there were actually, sometimes we used to call it, because Kim, I won't get into that, but there's little friends that can dwell in material things as well as unsaved people. Not the unsaved people. They can be oppressed, but not possessed. Got it? Okay, we can be oppressed but never possessed because we have the Holy Spirit. But certain things that we've met missionaries over years, they said, you know, like masks and other things they bring, people have brought home, can have little friends in them. It means evil spirits. And they wonder why they're being oppressed and why things are going wrong. But to make a long story short, as we've talked to missionaries, yes, that does happen. So there are very dark things that happen that Christians need to stay away from because we are children of light. Why does anybody want to mess with any of that? Because we have something much more powerful, something much more strong. We have the light of Jesus. We have the love of Jesus in us. So, and then, you know, of course, it says you need to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Some people get confused because Satan is the author of confusion. They think, well, you know, I can have some fruit in my life if I get a little help from the enemy. No, it doesn't work that way. Stay away from it. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. So it says, but rather expose them, for in all things that are exposed are made manifest in the light. And it's interesting because God's word will show you clearly, and in my life too, what I need to do and what I don't need to do. You know, it gives me the stepping stones or the stairs to reach up to heaven and to claim my riches in Christ, which the enemy does. He's always giving you something temporal, doesn't he? He doesn't give you something eternal. He gives you that short pleasure. When you're done, you feel like a sucker, right? You feel like you've been taken advantage. You feel like you're dirty. You feel like you've done wrong. But get it under the blood of Christ. Learn from it and grow. Run. Run from temptation. And so he says, for all things that are exposed are made manifest by light. Whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, quoting from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2, it says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. In other words, we need to be quickened by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we quench the Spirit. You know, the Spirit is a person, too, that dwells within us. Or we can put out the fire that burns in us. It's so easy, okay? And, you know, the enemy always tries to work. And I know in my life, in your life, if you're really tired, if you're exhausted, you're like, I don't know how I can do this anymore. You know what? That's the time when you need to rest in Christ. Rest in Him today. The problem, remember back in the Old Testament with Israel, they ended up being 40 years in the wilderness. Because remember, Joshua and Caleb went in there and said, you know what? They're giants in the land. And what did Moses do? Moses got angry and he hit the rock. God said, don't do that. Joshua and Caleb went into the promised land and they said, yeah, they're giants, but you know, this is our promised land. Have we got any giants in our life today? Any darkness in our life that we need to clean out? You know, let Christ be that candle, light up every room of our life today and be bright lights. Don't squander what we have and think God can't do it. He can't fill those rooms. And then we see here, as I'm closing up, Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. Light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter into the full day. You know, you get out there early in the morning and it's dawn. And, you know, now it's getting a little cooler. Thank God we've had some rain. And, you know, it's like God is trying to rise in our hearts. And it gets brighter and brighter. And it gets, we're more thankful. Because, like it said in one of the Gospels, that I believe it was in, not the Gospel, in Corinthians, you walk and you stumble around like you're in darkness. God is saying, I can show you the light. And He gives us the light. And He wants us to have the light more abundantly today. And pray today that we'll stay away from darkness and learn from other people who, you know, darkness is one thing. You know, somebody told me this a long time ago, and it was true when I was a Boy Scout chaplain and an assistant scout leader in Colorado. And we're in the Rocky Mountains. And we're going to leave it at this. You know, we used to build fires. We have tents. We have campsites, and there were bears, big bad bears were out there. So you had to be careful. You didn't leave food out. And I said, kids, and they were teenagers and younger ones. And I said, you know, we're going to eat and then we're going to take what's left over. I said, this was our last night there and the scout leader had left. And I said, if you have any leftovers, I said, put them in a plastic bag and bury it. They're like, huh? I said, yeah. I said, the ranger was talking to me this evening. I said, the leader's coming back tomorrow. But I said, you know, we all can be a good number one or number two in our lives. And I said, bury it. And so after we ate, we heard some crashing in the woods. I can't make this up. And I got nervous. And I was looking into the light and I looked around. And I've seen spots in my eyes. You know, when people used to be pioneers, you never look at a campfire for too long, especially if there were enemy around you, because you're blind. You're smart. You move back from the campfire. You move back into the woods. And so if the enemy comes in, you're ready for him with your friendly friend by your side. So sure enough, we all went in our tents and we heard more crashing. And one of the kids started crying. I said, "Be quiet. Don't say anything." Because their bears are very smart. And they had black bears up in the Rockies. And sure enough, I said, "Pray, pray, pray, pray." So God is saying here, I'm going to close with this. Don't deny what God has done for you in the darkness. I mean, in the light and the darkness. So God's been good to you in the light. Don't deny it in the darkness. Be strong. Be of good courage. The Lord has overcome the powers of darkness in him. And by the way, there was no bear. That's the good part of the story there. But we did find tracks. We did later on, we did find out there was a bear in the area. But greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. So take courage, my brethren. The Lord's coming back, and we are mighty, very mighty in him. Be a light today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for schooling. We thank you for things that we have learned in the past that have been good teachers to us. Help us, Lord, to teach others. And Lord, we thank you for the light. Lord, there is no darkness in you. Even when you created light, you are light, In Genesis 1:3, that you divided the light from the darkness. The darkness does not overcome light. You are the light, and we thank you that your word is the light. Your Holy Spirit is the light. Your blood is the light that shows us, Lord, your blood forgives us of our sins. We thank you for convictions. We thank you for joy. God, we just pray here today, God, that we will be brighter and brighter. You'd help us to, screw that light bulb in a little tighter, a little brighter. So we'll be a little brighter, not just because of intellectual or smart. Your spirit, Lord, that people can see you. And we just thank you and just pray if there's somebody who's online who doesn't know you as Savior. Remember, this is the light. This is what it's all about. This is not something temporary. This is something for eternity. Look at all the dark things in the world. It's a horrible place we live, but we thank God for the light and his blessings and his love and the joy and the peace that passeth all understanding. And thank you for the fruit of the Spirit. Help us to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you so much. You've been so good to us. We give you the praise and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.